Hey guys, what's going on? This is Rachel Kayleen, and we are back with the Millennial Wave, episode 10. And today I have Chad Feingold with me. He's an entrepreneur and digital marketer. We met at a networking event, I would say maybe not a year ago.
Sometime last year, early spring, something like that.
Yeah, like maybe 8-9 months ago, I would say. And we've met a couple of times. The second time I met him, I was so impressed with meeting him the first time that I really wanted to gain more knowledge, hear about him, what he's doing, what he's working on. And I'm really excited to have him on the podcast because, you know, I know he's just filled with a wealth of knowledge. He's doing very, very well in his business. And I know that he can share a lot of insight with everyone. So, thank you.
Thank you for having me.
I'm excited. Being on the show. I know. I can tell. I love it. Yeah. Your energy is great. It's very contagious.
Thank you.
So before we kind of get into any of the questions that I'm going to have, I want to know more about you and how you started and what you're doing. I know that we talked when we met up a couple of times about, you know, what you're doing now, but I want to know how it all started, how you got into entrepreneurship, being your own boss, and what business you're running. So can you tell me
a little bit? Sure. So, I mean, I guess the first thing is I kept getting fired for one thing, so I decided to hire myself. And that ended up working out better. So I think we all go through some of those jobs that we maybe don't like. I had a mentor of mine who's actually, funny enough, now a client of my current business. He said, you have to get sales experience. And I was pretty introverted, I would say. I didn't like talking to people, especially in high school, that kind of thing, even called shy. And he said, you got to go get sales experience. And so I looked and I'm like, okay, well, where can I get that face-to-face experience that wasn't retail or anything else? And so that landed me a sales job at CarMax, of all places. So that was my very, and this was 6-7 years ago for context now, 5-6 years, something like that. And I was absolutely horrible at it, like in the beginning. But what was, I guess, important about that, that really was the foundation of learning to talk and learning to network with people. And from there, I just started asking people, like, how did they learn? Like, how do you come about this? And then they started throwing books my way and I just started reading.
You would ask the other sales reps that?
Yeah. So okay. I think one of the biggest things that I did that, looking back, because I didn't know this at the time, but I would go up and just ask the top people, like, what are you doing differently? Because I was horrible the first 3 to 4 months. Like it was real bad. But after about 6 months, I went all the way to the top in that field. So it was consistently in the top 3 out of about 80 people there at the location. And, you know, that curiosity, I think, has served me very well. Fast forward a couple years later, I started my own business after that. And so I think, which is in the digital marketing space. And that foundation of just kind of being comfortable talking to people and just going out and meeting people has really served me well.
So when you were working at CarMax, you were there for 3 years, you said?
No, I was actually only there for 10 months.
What? So
yeah, I was only there for 10 months. And I think, you know, that just reminded me of another point that, and it's funny when I look back, I get so many more insights. I had basically made a lot of changes each year. So each year I would get exposed to, through one way or another, either through just my own curiosity or right place, right time, a combination of things of like a next level. And then I would get curious, like, oh, wow. So because right after CarMax, I actually had a brief stint at Mercedes. And I said, oh, wow, I could do the same thing and essentially make 2 to 3 times earning potential at the thing for doing the same thing. And that was interesting for me. I just never thought about it, just not being aware of it. So I was there for a couple months, but then realized, hey, this is not what I want to do.
At Mercedes,
okay. Yeah. And from there, I had already started working behind the scenes on the marketing side and the website side. I started looking at courses and I started looking just reading stuff online, kind of dabbling. And from there, I quit after 6 months of being there.
At Mercedes. Okay. And you quit 6 months after. Did you go anywhere else or did you go full-time in your
business?
Nope,
that was full-time. Yeah. So I went full-time with a very limited budget, let's just say. So there was a timeline there before the money was going to run out and the bills were going to take over. So.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So what was the inspiration then? So you go into sales, in car sales of all things.
Oh, I know. What a wreck of an industry too.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Talk about that.
So I guess it has such a bad stigma, right?
Of course,
all the way back into decades. And so I guess I was fortunate enough to start at that location where there wasn't, at CarMax, there wasn't any of those type of practices going on that industry is so well known for, or badly known for, I should say. But, you know, that, yeah.
Is it true what they say?
A little bit, yeah.
Really?
A little bit, yeah. Yeah.
So I guess someone will come in for like a sedan and then they'll leave with a minivan, right? Is that like a thing?
Yeah.
That's real.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Shoot.
Well, see, I guess one thing that and this had served me well too, where I built a lot of trust there by saying, you know, somebody would want something that I knew was not good for them. I would say, hey, look, you really don't want to get that. Like, and sometimes to the point where it's like, I'm not even going to sell you that. You're going to have to go get somebody else to do that, because I just don't think it's a smart financial decision, or because you had, you know, that credit, that kind of thing. Yeah. So you had people come in all kinds of situations. And, you know, that's another thing that looking back had served me well, because my time there, you had people who would come in for an $80,000. You know, dollar car, you'd have anyone from a $5,000 car. So I got experience interacting with a lot of different kind of people, which was really fun, because you get to learn like from different people.
Yeah, of course. So. Jeez, that's crazy. Okay, so when you were in car sales, when did that idea spark to start your own business, to go into digital marketing and do your own thing?
Probably somewhere mid-2014, okay. I would say, you know, and coming in late 2014, that's where I really started getting exposed to more of the courses, more of just like, what is this whole world like of opportunity that I keep hearing online? And it's obviously not going anywhere. It's, you know, the industry is going straight up in terms of what's changing, what's available, the different, not having a middleman as a business owner anymore to, you know, you don't have to just, this is a great example. Like, you don't need a huge TV production, which costs like hundreds of thousands of dollars to create content and get your message out there.
Yeah, exactly. So when you were first getting involved in digital marketing, I'm curious, did you have anyone that you found online where you're like, I want to do what he's doing? Like, was there anyone that stood out to you? Because 2014, I mean, ads are huge now. Like, they're everywhere, right? But 2014, I feel like people were really cracking the code and like, you know, they were really getting out there. So when did you get exposed to that, and who was your main influence?
So actually, this was going back to a conference I attended. So I had started traveling to go to sales conferences, and anytime there's a sales conference, Grant Cardone was one of them there. It was some event in Vegas years back.
That's awesome.
And every time there's a sales card, there's a marketing piece. And it's like, you know, you have different speakers on stage. I didn't know any of them, right? And so, but I met people in the audience who were doing what I'm doing now. So that, I guess, kind of comes full circle back to your question, was like, it was that thing of always being exposed to like, what's the next level? And it wasn't necessarily someone on stage. It was the people I met at the audience of that event who were, let's just say, more than 10x what I was earning there doing what I'm doing now. And I just had never thought of it as an option until I started talking to people. Well, I guess
you just weren't exposed to it.
We just
get
stuck in routines. Yeah. I think it's just like, you know, you go to school, you get a degree, you do that. And like, it's just you don't ever try and question like, what am I doing why am I doing?
Yeah. You know? So digital marketing, out of all the things in entrepreneurship, why are you, how much do you love digital marketing? Like, why did you know that that was a fit right off the bat?
So everyone says they want to help people. Right. And that's like such a broad statement, but I was looking for a vehicle that served a couple different reasons. So, my grandma was not doing well at the time. So at the time, 2015, 2016, 2017, I, was traveling on my 2 days off on my sales job. Almost every 2 days I had my weekends, whichever that was during the week or weekend, didn't matter, to go down, drive 5-6 hours south of here, to the coast to go visit her. And so I really got stuck in a position there of like, I didn't have the time freedom. I didn't have the ability to ask for time off. So, you know, I'd get off work at 7-8 PM, get there at 1 AM, wake up at 6 AM, you know, be there for 48 hours and go. So coming back to your question was like, I was looking for a business and a vehicle that I could work from anywhere, that would give me the flexibility and earning potential to kind of help my family, help friend, you know, people in my life, and without being like told what my schedule is, you know. And of course I have a schedule, like I have to, my clients are my schedule now, but back then it was like I had 2 days a week, right? And so I had to constantly. And I did that for like months and months and months and months. So that's how I landed on the vehicle that checked not only, okay, it has the earning potential. It has a vehicle that's not going away anytime soon to help people, and to help business owners who maybe are really good operators and are really good at what they do, but they don't know how to get their message out. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's a solution for them that's always going to be there. And that just circles back to, like, you don't need hundreds of thousands of dollars anymore to get publicity.
Of course. So digital marketing. Also, I've heard one of the things about digital marketing. I went to a workshop with this gentleman by the name of Mark Lack. He's really known for being a personal mm-hmm. branding expert. And mm-hmm. There was a guy that ran a digital marketing agency. Is it true that you get capped out on a certain amount of clients? Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's only so many clients that you can take on. Does that make sense?
So here's, I'll flip that for you, because
there's so many, like, you can always be the man, like they say, okay, you don't want to work for, like, mm-hmm. spend so much time working. You want to have the freedom, right? Everyone wants mm-hmm. the financial freedom. They want the freedom to do what they want when they yeah. want. If you love yeah. what you do, you're always going to do it, right?
Sure.
But when it comes to, like, digital marketing or anything of that nature, if you can only have a certain amount of clients, you're capped. But if you have more people working on it and you have people that know how to do what you do, then you can hire them to, you know, work with your clients. But mm-hmm. I'm curious how you make that run and how you still find time to do the things that you enjoy and travel like you do mm-hmm. Without worrying constantly, like, oh, my clients, how am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? Does that make sense?
So, yeah, it makes perfect sense. I made a decision to make myself a lot more available to my clients than probably most people would like. So, I mean, if I have, there's certain clients that I, you know, text or call back and forth, it might be 8 or 9 o'clock at night, right? And that's just kind of a lifestyle choice that I had made. And so it's kind of on the opposite side of, like, well, you can have the freedom, you can, you know, do it all, you can try and do that. But it's like, well, why don't I want to be involved more in my business to try and grow it? And I go back to, like, okay, well, where am I going? What do I want to achieve? And then what do I need to do to get there? So, and if that's interacting with clients later or doing things that are necessarily unscalable, you know, that's kind of my choice to do it. I think a lot of people have to just work from the end in mind. So, you know, I have a certain target that I want to get to, and I know what, you know, I'm constantly aiming to try and get to that. Some people might have a different number, and then they can design their life around that. But I think the most important thing is just to start, like, 10 years ahead and work backwards. It's like, okay, well, what do I need to do to get there? And then what are all the things that could go wrong and some risk, you know, kind of mitigation while still kind of going for it, if you will.
Of course. And I feel like people listening to this would be like, man, this guy is so full of knowledge. Like, he knows exactly what he's talking about. He's got all the answers. No, seriously. Yeah. And it's amazing. It's incredible. Like, you can tell everything that you've done and you've learned along your journey. Mm-hmm. What would you tell someone that's listening to this right now that's like, man, I could never get to where he's at. Like, I couldn't learn all that. What do you think the first step is? And I'm curious, because you said that you were working in 2016, 17. When did you go full-time in your – I know this is two questions, but when mm-hmm. did you go full-time in your business? And you said that you had a certain, you know, limit that you had to hit before, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. the bill started piling mm-hmm. up. How did you make that work, number one? That's my first question. And mm-hmm. then number two, where would someone start if they were in the same position as you?
I think the biggest thing is everything's a learnable skill. So, I mean, mindset is obviously everything. That's nothing new, but – the way I try to approach it, and this is like a constant thing, I'm always trying to figure out, like, how do I make sure I'm approaching things from, like, a learning point of view rather than, feeling like I know too much. I think one thing that actually, capped me out on the sales side of things back in the previous position was, thinking that I did know too much and that I did know it. And then realizing when you get to that point in a business, that means you're kind of coasting, which, if you're coasting, you're going downhill eventually. So I think recognizing that sales is a learnable skill. I mean, if you would have seen me 10 years ago, I mean, oh man, like, you know, I couldn't talk to anybody. I couldn't interact with anybody. I couldn't hold a conversation. Like, it was just a totally different thing. And looking back, I think that everything's learnable. Like, everyone starts at a terrible, being terrible at it. And I think that once you acknowledge that and then move past that, you know, you're kind of along with the ride with everybody else. Everybody's just trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't think anybody has anything fully figured out. And so being open to learn from everybody, no matter what point you're at. I mean, that's one of the things that's really interesting when I go to these conferences is, you know, usually the person running the event is interviewing other speakers and whatnot on stage. And I look at what they've accomplished, whether it's like 9-figure plus businesses or even, you know, across the billion dollar mark. And it's like, dude, they're still so anxious to learn. Like, I can tell from the questions that they're asking, even where they're at in their business, and they're asking the people who either spoke at their event or otherwise, they're coming at it from like such a, hey, I want to learn because they're an expert in that area and I can still learn something from them. So it's just like, that's kind of what I try and approach things at.
Wow. So. Okay. So when you were first starting your business, what was kind of the first step? Because again, like, yeah, you had just done sales. You've learned how to develop that skill. Mm-hmm. What were some of the things, like, how did you not get, what do they call it, analysis by paralysis?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. I tried a bunch of different things. Like, I tried cold calling in the beginning. That totally didn't work out.
Why?
I tried everything. Like, I just tried to show up at events. I tried to...
To get clients?
Yeah, to get clients, yeah, on the marketing side. And I think the biggest shift in that thing was when I started getting results for myself online. Because the shift comes from, like, an internal confidence. You know, I started doing some stuff on Google for my own properties and, you know, kind of going 8-10 months into my first year. First year always goes wrong. Like, everything possible that goes wrong, it all goes wrong. Like, that's just the way it is. So knowing that going into it is going to save you a lot of problems.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think where it shifted though for me was I started seeing results for myself and saying, wow, this stuff actually works. And then that had changed my tonality with clients. They could pick up on the confidence of like, okay, I kind of knew at least an area of what I was approaching and talking about. And that just translated to started from there. That's really the turning point, I would say.
So, for example, what you're saying is that you would go and you would acquire clients by mm-hmm. online marketing.
Mm-hmm.
So you were developing the skill of online marketing mm-hmm. while getting clients that needed online marketing.
Yeah, I'm my first client. Yeah, wow. So I am my own client.
Okay, so when you were cold calling, they mm-hmm. you it's not that you're a bad salesman because you had been doing sales for quite a bit of time,
just
right?
Not on the phone, yeah.
Oh no.
Yeah. Very little. Not from a cold perspective. Yeah.
Yeah.
Phone skills were not up to par.
No. Okay.
Wasn't a thing.
So then once you were able to, so now do you acquire most of your clients online through online marketing and referrals now?
Yeah. So there's a couple different areas. There's referrals. There's the online properties I already have. So we advertise in a couple different places. We show up for a bunch of search terms on Google. You know, we're constantly building more, expanding to different cities, that kind of stuff. And then of course it's just events, traveling, conferences, other, you know, getting other publicity that way.
Yeah.
So.
And you go to quite a few events.
I do.
You do.
Yes,
and
yes,
every
I do.
Single time I'm looking, he's like, is that another event?
Yeah,
I love
yeah.
it. But honestly, I think that's incredible. I feel like not enough people go to events.
Yeah.
I really don't. I feel like you can meet so many people. And, you know, some people mm-hmm. feel like they need it. Some people feel like they don't. It's their preference, whatever. But I want to know, because you just said that you like to go to events, and I'm sure you meet some clients that way.
Sure.
What's the main reason you go to events? Is it really to learn? Is it to network? Is it to gain mastermind? Like, you know what I mean? Like, buy more courses? I don't know. What do you go? What's the main
focus? I think there's a couple things. Like, for me, it's a way to hold myself accountable because for Bob Proctor, I love going to his events. And it's always down in LA a couple times a year. And so there's an internal accountability because if you start seeing the same people at events that go, let's say 2 to 3 times a year, one in spring, one in fall, maybe one, you know, whatever. It's like if you're in the same place 6 months ago when you just saw your friend there, you're like, oh man. So it gets you that it kind of, it's almost I mean, that's not the main reason, but this is kind of a benefit that I picked up after a couple years of going to some similar events, annual events. It's like, I don't want to be in the same place that I saw him. So that's one thing that like gets me kind of jazzed and motivated to kind of keep going forward on some things. The second thing would be definitely the people you meet. I feel like the content can be good. You can always learn something, but the biggest benefit I've had is the people and the connections have either opened doors to me, whether it's like working with business partners, hiring, like that kind of thing. Everyone I've worked with pretty much that's on my team and everything, I've met at an event, at a thing. So, you know, that kind of creates some longevity to the team as well. You know, especially in this industry, you can, a lot of people work and they've never even met the person they're working with.
Yeah.
Whether they might be, you know, across the United States, but at least the people that I've worked with and do work with, these are all people I've met at events.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's face to face.
Yeah. And to talk about that too. So now, how long have you been full time in your business?
3.5 years, roughly.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Jeez. Okay. Yeah. Awesome. So with being and building your business for 3.5 years, is this your main bread and butter? Like, you, do you do anything else? Do you have any
other businesses? This is my business.
Okay.
Is my business.
Okay.
Yeah, full-time.
And when did
agency
you,
services?
You you've been doing it for 3.5 years,
mm-hmm.
and you went full time in it after
very early 2016. Yeah, it's kind of
was
started.
That?
Yeah.
Oh, that's like when you started. Like what?
Yeah.
6 months in, maybe.
Yeah. Roughly.
Okay.
So I started dabbling kind of late 2014, mid 2015. actually, that reminds me too. I did fail once already on that. So before, there was a couple months, I think before, there was about a 2 to 3 month stint where I tried it right after CarMax before I think I went to Mercedes. And I just didn't know what I didn't know yet. I was still way, I didn't know anything yet at that point. I was just, I didn't know what to do. I didn't know if I was going to do like course, e-commerce, like didn't have it. So I tried it for a couple months. And I was like, I gotta go get another position. I don't know what I'm doing yet. And then from there, I took that kind of 6 months to, you know, learn more.
Okay.
And figure out what I was doing.
What was the difference maker for you when you said you learned more? What was the main...
I mean, that, so number one, just studying, like I didn't know enough to even go through some of the, like I didn't go through some of the courses. And then during that time I jumped into a couple masterminds. Like there was one that I spent like $8,000 on. There's a couple that I spent.
Oh my gosh. When you haven't even like really launched your business yet.
Yeah. Jeez, yeah. So it was like, I kind of like invested everything.
Yeah.
In that, and that
how
one.
How do you feel about
that? I'd say I would do it again. Yeah. I would do it again. You know, I think there's easier ways to do it. I think it, you know, the smarter plan looking back at it probably would have been to go work for an agency or something, get experience and then do it. But, call it like naive, you know, being naive or whatever else you want to call it. But I just, you know, I just wanted to go for it. And so ended up working out.
Yeah. I gotcha. Okay, yeah. Cool. Wow. That's incredible. That's crazy. So would you recommend that to someone else that wants to do something along the lines of entrepreneurship, starting their own business? Would you say, oh, you know, hey, 6 months into it, just say whatever, you know, like, you know, go full time and you know.
I think there's a lot more practice. I think there's some practicality to it for sure. I think what I would definitely recommend is go and work. I can only say what I did. I mean, you know, there's I would definitely go work probably if I were to do it again. Go get other agency experience just because I think it would have shortcutted a lot of things and some of the back end systems. Cause like when you jump from, you know, when I jumped from sales, I was like, okay, I'm giving a service, I'm doing that. But there's all of these other inner workings that like I wasn't responsible for.
Yeah.
Taxes, contracts, agreement, like all of the stuff, like fulfillment, development, like all of the, you know, before it was just a couple follow up, you know, it was easy follow up. Now it's like managing the whole fulfillment process and everything else. Yeah. So like, there's so many different aspects that I think you got to figure out where you're best at, where your strong points are, what do you want to do? And then hire around that.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. And honestly, you say that you wish that you maybe would have worked for an agency to shortcut it. You're honestly doing like really well for 3.5 years in, you're full time, you're doing well, you're traveling, you're, you know, you're doing your thing, you're growing your business. That's incredible because, you know, a lot of people talk about the long game. Right? Like being in it for the long term, 10 years, 20 years, you know, whatever. I'm curious. I'm sure since you go to these events, you meet all these different types of people that own agencies or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
You probably see some people that are growing it at a rapid pace and some people that are still where they were last year, if not more behind. Sure. What do you think is the difference between the people that aren't really growing it and then the ones that are, you know, continuously every single year, every single time you see them, they're always upgrading and boosting and getting more recognition and growing.
Sure.
Like, what are the differences and why do you think some people are behind?
Definitely imperfect action. 100%. Yeah. Like done is better than perfect.
Okay.
It's kind of such a cliche, but I think that like the willingness to suck, and I say that like kind of bluntly, but it's just so true, to kind of make a mess of things and figure, you know, get into it and figure it out. Like you can take a billion courses and there's always going to be another course coming out. There's always going to be another thing, but sometimes like you just have to do it. And that goes back to like when I started getting confidence was like, I started showing up in Google, like for the search terms that I was going for my own business, for my own website. I'm like, you know, it was so funny. The first, like my first 6, 7, 8 months in the business, because I don't know, like I didn't have the confidence. I didn't know, does this thing even work? Like, am I total, you know, it's this whole online thing that was just, you know, is it even a thing? Is it a real opportunity? Is it all, you know, a scam, whatever else, all those kind of false beliefs that you go through. And I started like seeing it. I was like, dude, it's actually working.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like, it was kind of a surprise, but it translated into the confidence of like, well, okay, if it worked for me, then, or at least I can move, you know, a property and get something exposure, you know, through X, Y, and Z method, then it's like, well, dude, I can do that for other people.
Yeah, of course.
And yeah, it was that internal. So, but that was like, I could take a billion courses, but until I actually started doing the things, like executing on my own stuff, it was, I mean, I don't know. I could have taken courses for another 2 years, but, and never felt that internal shift of like, okay, it works. Like it's a, you know,
okay.
And get results.
So you took quite a few courses then. I'm assuming you still do.
Still do.
Often are you taking courses?
Well, I mean, even in a couple of days, we got Funnel Hacking Live coming up over in Nashville. So that's with ClickFunnels, Russell Brunson, all that kind of stuff. So mm-hmm. this will be the second year I've gone to that. I went last year. I'm just trying to learn, you know, I guess one thing that I try and do is stay in my lane of agency services. I think people online, you know, you can go into e-commerce, you can go into digital products, you can go into courses, you can do, you know, B2B, like there's a bunch of different areas. And so, while I know a little bit about some of the other categories of e-commerce, you know, I don't try and know everything, and I don't try and buy courses. So there's content relating to all that stuff at these conferences, but I really try and stay like, okay, what can I take away and then implement?
Yeah.
Like that's all I'm looking for.
Yeah, of course.
And or the connections.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
And what do you think is one of the number one things that's helped you grow it to where it's at now and continuously do? Like, I know that you have a lot of connections, you network a lot.
Yeah.
The done is better than perfect, you know? Yeah. But what are some of the different things that you've learned? Like, for example, like skill sets, like,
yeah.
like certain type of marketing, or what's the number one thing that's really helped you make the difference?
You know, it really comes down to the people I've met at events, because you get stuck. Like, everybody's going to get stuck. And I think the biggest thing is like, how quickly do you remove roadblocks? And then how do you approach the roadblocks in the first place? So one of the things that really helped me out was somebody I work very closely with now, is just having some cell phone numbers that you can call.
Yeah.
And it's like, dude, I can't get this thing to work. Like, what am I doing wrong? And you could, you could be on Facebook Blueprint, their free course. You can take the Google courses, like all that kind of stuff. But sometimes you really just need somebody to pick up the phone and be like, dude, I'm like, how do I get around this?
Yeah, you need that one-on-one.
Yeah. And so I think, but, you know, going, attending these events and building the relationships with people who are either further ahead than I am or more knowledgeable in certain areas or, you know, whatever that case may be. And then having the ability to be like, hey, dude, like what's going on? And I think, but you got to put yourself out there to even get that. It's like somebody might be saying, well, okay, well, I don't have that. Well, I mean, I didn't have that either for the first year and a half. But like I had to go outside my house and like get on a plane and go meet the people to go get that. So it's like, you know, I had to go take some action to go get that.
Of course. And I'm curious. So for someone that wants to go and they want to reach out to someone at an event or whatever the case may be, they always say lead with value, lead with, you know.
Yeah.
What if you don't really have any value to give, if that makes sense? Like you're someone just starting out. You don't really know how to approach these people. You don't want to ask for anything because what have you earned? Like what do they owe you? Nothing, right?
Yeah.
Of course, if they're nice, they'll give you some, you know, advice, some value. Sure. But what would you recommend to someone like at an event, they're trying to connect with some people, you know, they're talking to someone, how would they get that help? Like, hey man, like, honestly, bro, you're great, but I'm really struggling. Can you help me out? You know what I mean?
Like, yeah. It never hurts to ask. I mean, I think like what's interesting, especially at the events, is you don't have to talk to the speakers. Like you don't have to go for the person on the stage.
Yeah.
Like if you just shake the guy's hand or woman's next to your hand, in the audience, like you'd be surprised how many people are absolutely crushing it at these events who are not very public about it, but they may have a couple of e-commerce properties. They might be in this business. They might be in that. But like you really just like, I meet everybody I can, even in like food lines, Starbucks lines, like
it.
At the events. And it's like, I've met some ridiculous people who are just killing it.
Like,
just by saying hi. So,
and
I think to go back and answer, you got to get good at something. Like you want to develop a skill set in something. Like you want to shoot for mastery. Like you want to really, you know, one of the things that I did having the sales experience was people who were better at me on the technical side, whether that's like the paid advertising or whatever else, where I needed a leg up or needed a partner in certain areas, like I can help them on the sales side. They can, you know, so it's like, you got to figure out what you do bring, but a lot of times you can just ask, like developer, everyone's trying to figure it out. So, just meet people and
Okay. And then what do you think your number one skill set, your number one strong suit is?
I would say the sales side. Yeah. The sales and communication. Yeah.
With the clients.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So gaining the clients and whatnot. Okay.
Yeah,
so I'm assuming, do you outsource a lot of the other things?
So that's a good question. Like I have this, it's the same team that I've built over the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. So I have somebody who handles the paid advertising. I have somebody, you know, a couple of
different web
designers.
So you don't even do the advertising, even though that's how you really like, you were your own client. Okay.
Yeah. So I run the strategy usually from the top down, except in a couple different areas, like the paid advertising side, we'll collaborate on some things. I have multiple different web designers. I still do a lot of the SEO myself, minus some of the oil change type of tasks. But yeah, I really developed those kind of face-to-face reliable connections and then built a team around that where it's like, okay, I got the paid advertising manager here. I got a couple different web designers here that we use for different projects. And I just run the kind of the strategy of top down. Here's what we need to do. Here's the messaging we need to do. Here's what we need to get done. Here's what we're trying to like achieve, and then go from there.
Okay.
So.
Gotcha. So, man, there's so many moving parts. There really is.
Yeah. It never ends. Yeah.
Like building a team, having the vision for it, having the business plan, knowing how to pay people out. Like, how do you keep up with all this? How do you make that happen? It's kind of ridiculous. It's kind of crazy. Okay,
how about this? Yeah, it's a great question.
Well, I'm also kind of curious. Oh man. So when you're doing this, when you're trying to focus down on growing your business,
mm-hmm.
what are some of the things that people should really look out for? Like when you're just starting, there's so much overwhelm that could come of someone like, oh man, I need to build a team. I need to get clients. I need to advertise. I need to market. I need to go connect to people. What's the number one thing you would tell them? Like, bro, relax, chill out. You're going to be fine.
Mm-hmm.
Do this. This is your number one thing. Sales.
Yeah.
By yourself.
Or partner. If it's really not your thing, I mean, sales is a learnable skill.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people like shy away from it way too much.
Of course.
Because they're like, well, sales is not doing something like, I love what Bob Proctor says about it. It's like, it's not doing something to someone. You're not selling it to them. Like selling is doing something for them. Mm-hmm. Like it's supposed to be a service that you're doing. And that's like a direct quote from Bob Proctor. I didn't come up with this stuff, but that is a thing. Like if you don't have revenue, like there's nothing there. And so people get caught up on like the, you know, you got to know everything or I don't know enough or this or like, wow, how am I going to deal with this? Well, I mean, once you figure out and go provide a service, everything else will just, you'll start figuring stuff out as you're doing it. And I think that's what most people think when they look up, like, you know, I look at people either in the sales space or the marketing piece who are just giants, right? You're running huge companies. It's like, dude, they're just trying to figure it out. Like they're just continually trying stuff. It's not like they're so much smarter or there's so much, you know, whatever you want to call it. Like they don't have a roadmap. They're just like going through things just like everything else by doing and doing more.
Okay. So for someone also that is trying to build their brand or they're trying to build a business and there are certain things that they really don't enjoy. Like for me, myself personally, I don't love video editing. That's not my thing. I don't really like it.
Yeah.
I more so like talking to people. I like the communication. Mm-hmm. I like going out and meeting people. Mm-hmm. What would you tell someone that's starting up their own thing? They're kind of limited on funds, whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. Would you just tell them outsource, focus on what you're good at, what you're strong at, and then
you're gonna have to do a little bit of both. Yeah, you're gonna have to do a little bit of both. I mean, you're gonna wear like every hat in the world, and I still do to some degree wear like way too many hats. But for that, there's always a way. So it comes back to being resourceful, right? So if you're looking for a video editor, I mean, we're here in Sacramento. There's Sac State who has interns, right? So it's like, you know, how do you solve the problem? Like always looking for like a how instead of approaching it like, oh, I can't, or I need this. Well, okay, well, if you reframe it and say, how can I? You got to think of it from a different perspective, and whoever is going to be more resourceful is eventually going to get it done.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. So being resourceful, going out there, kind of figuring it out on your own, and then of course, once you gain the knowledge, you start making sales. You can go and you can outsource these things. You can get people on your team and whatnot. Also, you starting out, you said that your first year, you probably failed at like every single thing that you fail at.
Yeah.
What's like, I know there's a lot of things that you could probably say, but what's one of the main things that you would give someone like when they're first starting out, like, don't do this, like try to avoid this, like, try to cut their learning curve in half and teach them things that maybe you had already learned.
Yeah. I think it goes back to being practical. Like if I had spent maybe just 12 months, I mean, we get too caught up in like, and I do too, like trying to get things done. You do need a sense of urgency. So you do need to say like, hey, let's not be patient. But you also need to recognize like if you spend 8 to 10 months or 12 months or whatever else, like interning or working at a different, like at a place where you're learning the back end and the execution of it, like, you know, 12 months out of your whole life is not a lot of time at all.
No, yeah.
So I think there's a certain practicality of approaching it that way. Then again, it just really comes, you know, once you're in business and you're going for it, man, sales is everything. Like people, I think, get way too caught up in just the just random stuff. You know, they get busy work where it's like, oh, I got to know this or I got to know that. And it's like, once you start doing it, everything kind of, I don't want to say it falls into place, but you know what you need to do next when you're in it. You know, you're like, okay, well, now this challenge has come up. So then you take on that challenge.
Yeah.
And then another challenge comes up, then you got to do that. But if you're not in it and you're not, working with clients or if you're in the digital e-commerce space, if you don't have a store live, like go make a store, get it live, like start promoting, start getting your stuff out there.
Yeah, trial and error.
Yeah, and then you'll get responses and it's like, okay, well, what do I need to adjust?
Of course.
From there.
Of course. So also, again, like I mentioned, you have such a wealth of knowledge. Like it's like you can tell just by talking to you, like how much you probably learned in like the last 3.5 years, if not more, right? Did you go to college? I'm just curious.
Oh man, no.
So you didn't. Like, I was about to ask you which one did you like more, like college education or self education?
Okay,
you
know? So but now I'm like, this is a whole other topic. So you know, I definitely like education. I think there's a place for it. For me, I mean, I had a general business degree, so. I didn't have a degree. I don't have a degree, but that's what my major was at the time.
Okay.
I went into a community college right after high school. Terrible idea.
Really?
Terrible idea. I was not motivated. I was like, well,
well, what else would you have done?
You don't even have to show up for this and they don't care. Cool. I mean, that was my approach, you know, 8, 9, 10 years ago, whatever. So, I started listening to books on tape at like in the classroom, literally. And then I realized I could listen to books on tape, not in the classroom. And so I just kind of left college. So it just wasn't for me personally. I think I'm not talking about medical fields, attorneys, like all the stuff that you need degrees for. I'm talking about more general business and specifically marketing. Like there's no way you can learn marketing and you can learn
online. Fundamentals.
Yeah, there's no way. I mean, you can learn the fundamentals and business side of some things, but it's much easier to just go either intern or go get a job. Or just go take a couple courses for free.
Get some experience.
Yeah, and then go apply to some low-level jobs and just get experience. I mean, that's a much better path in my idea, in this specific lane. If I was to go to college again, I'd figure out how to get into, Ivy League.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah,
I think, connections.
Yeah,
there
the connection.
Go.
Yeah, it's like,
heck yeah.
Don't go to learn something. Go. I mean, you want to meet the people there, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
that's.
I didn't make that up either. It's just like, that makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah.
But no, I probably spent a total of about a year and a half, maybe-ish, not all at the same time in college, just community college.
Yeah.
Before I was like, it's not for me.
So all self-education. What kind of audiobooks were you listening to?
So, and that goes back to, I asked. I mean, I just started asking the salespeople and started looking. I think one of my family members gave me Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
That was your first book?
Yeah, that was the first one.
Oh, my gosh.
Everybody got that one, right? Everybody's got that one.
Of course. Wow, it's like everyone's intro book, huh?
Yeah, and then so that was – because originally I thought, you know, maybe I was going to go into the stock market. And this was back when I was like 19, 20 kind of thing. So I was like, I didn't know what I was going to do. And, you know, that kind of brings up one of my biggest curiosity points, which I think is worth mentioning because – when I was about 19 or 20, I was at my grandpa's house, right? He lives somewhere down in Southern California, Palm Springs. And he is very good in the stock market. He's self-educated in that sense on the stock market. He manages all his own stuff and he kind of did, I don't want to call it day trading because it really wasn't day trading. But at that time I was just working, you know, a part-time hourly job and, you know, not knowing what I was going to do. I don't know, you know, and I finally asked the question, like, what is he doing to have so much more than everyone else in my family? Because he's got, you know, he lives in a beautiful home in a nice area down there in that. And I was just curious. I'm like, you know, what are you doing? Like, you know, that seems a lot more fun.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, if I had to choose, you know, I'd rather have options. Right. And so to be able to help, you know, the causes that I want to help. And so he started giving me books on the stock market. So that was the first thing on how I got kind of aware of things. And then, he also, I'm pretty sure he was the one who introduced me to Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And then from there I got into Think and Grow Rich, which then spawned off into the current Bob Proctor stuff and, just curiosity and just Googling stuff, just Googling sales books, brought up Brian Tracy. And I ended up going to an event in 2013 to Brian Tracy. And that was, I mean, what was funny enough is I just said what was in the book, like when I had the sales position and I was so surprised it worked.
What? Like, give me an example.
Yeah, he was like some of the closes, like the trial closes. He would be like, when you're at this stage, go ahead and do this as a trial close.
Yeah.
Like, I just ask, are you ready to move forward? Like, how does that sound? Like, you know, all these kind of different trial closes. And I started saying this, I mean, it was back 4 or 5 months into still working, like where I was still not very good at what I was doing then. And it just started working.
Yeah, and you were like,
I was like, holy
what?
Dude, it worked. Working. It worked. Oh my God. Like, I was in shock almost because they were like, okay, let's do it. And I'm like, wait a minute. I just sold something.
Yeah,
I was like, it's like, oh my God, it worked. So, it was a combination of just seeing the results from implementing, but then just Googling stuff. I mean, it's all out there.
Yeah. Did you ever trade? Did you ever end up trading?
Not really. So no? I did invest a big portion of my earnings on sales into the market to try and create like a, I was aware.
Flow.
Mm-hmm. I was really aware of that, so I put a lot of that. By the way, I ended up losing all of it. I sold it
all.
Yeah, not intentionally, but when I started my own business, I sold it all.
Oh, okay, and gotcha.
But because my own returns were a lot profitable in the business, mm-hmm. so. But at the same time, it was just curiosity. You know, it was being exposed to, you know, I was at his house one time. This is my grandpa. I was at his house one time when I was 20, and he had executed a trade there. And I'm not promoting this. I'm not doing, you know, just he knew what he was doing. I didn't know what I was doing. but my point of bringing this up is like he brought me the exposure of knowing what was possible. He made that morning more than I had made all year at my part-time hourly labor job at like $10 an hour, whatever I was making at the time. So I was like, wait a minute, I'm doing something wrong here, guys. And so that proximity of like right there seeing it like behind his office chair was like, dude, I mean, there's other stuff out here.
Yeah.
That like, and you just need to learn it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Okay. So when you first started, I feel like everyone, we all have a reason why we do the things that we do. We have the motivations behind it originally, and I don't know if it still is. I feel like it always is changing mm-hmm. with different phases in our life. But your main thing was to be able to take care of your family, your mm-hmm. grandma, you know, the people that you love and have the things that you want in your life. What is it now? What's the main driving force for you, if you don't mind me asking?
Yeah, that's a good question. That was a really big eye opener for me. So I lost my grandma last year, around March. So, but she's in a better place now. So it was good. It was good that she had moved on, in that case, but I had watched that process over those couple years of traveling, you know, almost every other weekend and multiple times a month, hundreds and hundreds of miles each way. And just kind of, you know, going through that grind of what I was going through there. And I was like, dude, this is not how, life should be. And I know that not everyone is living like this. Like some people are a lot more comfortable. You know, for example, even on my other side of my family, this was my dad's side on the grandma part. But on my mom's side, I had lost my other grandma to cancer. But, you know, like I said, that was the grandpa that was pretty well off. And so seeing how she had moved on with in-home care and at the property and the 24-hour nursing, just the different levels of care that I saw available, you know, it's not that my other grandma didn't necessarily get what she needed, but she could have had a lot more comfort in her life with options. And, you know, until something like that where, you know, a cancer diagnosis like that comes into play and it's like, yeah, a proper care is $10,000 to $15,000 a month or whatever else. It's like, who has that, right? Yeah. And obviously some people have that, but
you know, yeah,
that's
yeah.
the motivation, of right? Course. That was, you know, to circle back around. It's like, well, wait a minute. You know, how do I create an environment where I have options for the people around me, including myself and, you know, mom, dad, everything else. And it's mm-hmm. like, dude, it's going to take money. Like it's going to yeah. take that. And it's going to take, you know, providing a service to people that matters and that like makes an impact to then get to that level of success too. So,
of course. And to talk about a little bit about money, cause I feel like, money mindset is honestly a whole different mindset in itself, you know,
yeah.
knowing
yeah,
how
yeah, yeah.
to, I want to say have a relationship money, but know
sure.
how to respect the money. You
sure,
know what I mean?
Sure,
does that
sure.
make sense? So I'm sure I know car sales. Like if you were good, like I'm sure, mm-hmm. like you mentioned, I'm sure you're making great money.
Mm-hmm.
And now that you have your own business, I'm sure you're doing even better.
Mm-hmm.
So how would someone, especially when they start to see the big money coming in, money
mm-hmm.
that they've never seen before, they
mm-hmm.
maybe they weren't raised around someone that was good with money management.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the different tips that you would give someone when they're first, you know, starting their business? Of course, you're going to say reinvested into the business.
100%.
Always.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
Now, what about investing into other businesses and other forms of cash flow? No? Yes?
It's a great question. So it depends upon what you want to achieve. Like, what is your end goal? That comes back to like, okay, what's my end goal in like 5 years, 10 years, 15 years? Like, where do I want to go? That'll answer that question. It's going to be different for everybody. But, you know, one of the things that I've learned, and this is just from other people from conferences and traveling and other things, is when you do branch out in another business, like for me personally, I'll just say what I'm doing because I'm just reinvesting it all into my own business. I could go start an Amazon store. I could go do the e-commerce thing, but then I'm in a whole different kind of lane. So one of the things that I'm doing, just because I think it's easier to talk about what I'm doing, because that's, you know, just the truth of it all,
yeah.
Is like I'm staying 100% in agency services. And then from there, I'm going to document a little bit more of the client successes and other things, and then probably repurpose that content into a course. But that's never going to be like another main business.
You're always going to do something that
I want to connect it. Yeah,
what?
I want to
okay.
connect it. I want to have it be related. I want to have, you know, one of the things that people do very well, like if you're in the e-commerce space, you can easily create a coaching program if you're having success, to just document your results and say, here's what I got. So you can create a program off of what you're already doing.
Yes.
So it's not like I'm not going to go into a totally different industry that I don't know anything about, at least not yet.
Yeah.
And that's what I recommend. Have it be related. How do you repurpose this, what you're already doing?
Yeah. Cause like they say, if you're everywhere, you're nowhere, right? If
you're
always doing something
you
different.
You can't know it all.
Well, what about this though? There's a lot of people, especially the younger crowd, that they see so many people online winning in so many different things. There's consulting, there's digital marketing, there's the e-commerce, there's the Amazon, there's the trading, like whatever it may be. There's so many different options out there. And there's so many people with so many different passions. How would you tell someone like narrow down, find this? Because like, for example, you know, Patrick Bedavid, obviously, he says, pick something for 10 years, do that. Pick something for 10 years, do that. You know what I mean? Like, what if someone doesn't enjoy it? What if they don't have a passion for it? Do you believe that it's important to love what you do? Because people can make a lot of money and be fucking miserable. Let's be real.
Sure.
So what would you tell someone if they're doing it and maybe they're hitting some roadblocks, but at the same time, it's not that the roadblocks are killing them. It's just they don't enjoy it. They're miserable. Yeah. What would you tell someone
Well, I mean, you're going to have to do things that suck.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's part of it. And so I think for me, there's a lot of things I still do that I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
Like whether it's admin, whether it's other just dealing with stuff that is not what I'm quote unquote best at. I mean, that's just part of it. And I think that people I know I did, like you can usually we're really good at excuses.
Yeah.
So we can use it as an excuse. And this is where you have to get real, real with yourself and say, okay, am I using it as an excuse to quit and then do something else? So, or is this a roadblock that I just need to push through and deal with it because this is part of the business and it's going to feed that ultimate goal? Like if the big enough goal that you're working towards, like feeds that why, you're going to just push through it anyways, but there's always opportunities to quit.
Yeah.
Like, so I think that that's an important question and differentiator that you have to go over, to know, okay, am I just, you know, kind of BSing myself where I'm giving myself an easy way out, or, you know, is there something that, no, I just don't want to do this, you know?
I agree.
That's an internal question, by the way. Only you can answer that.
I know. And that's the thing. People are like, let's say people are just, they're at a roadblock and they don't know what they're doing. And, you know, they can use, if they don't have that accountability or, you know, someone in their life to maybe reassure them or give them some type of advice.
Yeah.
How important do you think mentors are to someone's success in business?
I mean, I think you can have a mentor that's not there. I mean, for me, like Brian Tracy was a mentor. I mean, I could have never went to his conference and still he's would have been a great mentor to me. I read all of his books on Audible. I listened to it over and over and over. I think it's important to pick one or two. I think what especially in the digital space, everybody's got something. Like you can, and if you don't listen to just one or two people, you're gonna get conflicting messages. Some people are gonna tell monetize now. Some people are gonna say free content forever and then don't sell your audience. It's like, dude, you just need to pick a model and figure out what you wanna do and pick just one or two mentors, and otherwise you're gonna be so confused.
Yeah.
And you're never gonna take any action at all on anything.
Yeah. 100%. Jeez, that's amazing. Okay. Also, real quick, so with the mentors and everything that we've been talking about, when someone is building their business and let's say they're dealing with some roadblocks, whatever the case may be, and they're at that conflict stage, like mindset, when we come down to mindset and just being able to push through the roadblocks, do you think personal development is like a key essential factor? Because I'm sure you've met so many different types of people, and people think like when they think of money and rich, some people have that negative annotation, like, oh, all rich people are evil. Oh, you know, successful people, like they all want our money and whatnot. But when it comes to mindset and being able to overcome those limiting beliefs, how did you do it? Was it a lot of personal development or was it more just trial and error? Because some people think, oh, I don't need the hype. I don't need the, you know, the sugar coating and whatnot. Does that make sense?
Like, yeah, I think I think the biggest thing is it's a continuous thing. It's a never ending thing. So it's not something that you like achieve and then therefore are like forever done with the negative voice in your head. I think the biggest thing that I've learned just from studying and other people is like, what are your triggers that you can get around it? Like, what are your habits that you can counteract it and then win? Because, you know, you're going to get roadblocks no matter what you do. And as you get more successful, it's only going to get bigger roadblocks. Like, it's just going to be more stuff. But your why has to be big enough. But I think people think too much of like, okay, there's a destination. Of course, there's a destination. Like, eventually you get to a certain point years and years down the road where you do have a lot more options. But it's always going to be there. Like the voice of doubt, it's always going to like be there. It's a matter of how you deal with it. Yeah. Like, what do you have? What tools in your toolbox have you developed to counteract that and mm-hmm. be like, no. Number one, be aware of it.
Yeah.
Like, is it self-doubt? Is it self-belief? Whatever. And then number two, what are my triggers that are going to get me out of that state and then be able to go forward? And it's a continuous process.
Yeah.
Like 24/7.
Of course. Like, you always got to grow and work on yourself, invest in yourself.
Yeah.
And then also for someone that maybe wants to get into the space of what you're doing and also digital marketing, online space,
mm-hmm.
what are some people that you really admire? You know, like you said, everyone's mm-hmm. different. Everyone has a different message. It's about who you resonate with, but who are some of the different people that you really look up to, that you respect, that you believe in, that you know are doing the right things right now,
mm-hmm.
that someone could go
specifically
and
in the digital space?
Yeah.
So this will be an interesting answer because it's more on the sales side. You know, Grant Cardone just finished his 10X GrowthCon back in February in Miami. And I think he's somebody who, from a promotion standpoint, I really look up to. Not everybody. He won't
like
be.
Like promoting himself? Promoting
Promoting Cardone. His business. Yeah, okay. just promoting and helping people. Mm-hmm. I think that I personally resonate with his message. It takes a while, I think, to resonate with his message because he can be over aggressive or over brash.
He can be a little crazy.
But one of the things that I took away that from you know, when he was trying to push his tickets to his event and sell his tickets was, he said at one of his podcasts that I had caught, my ticket to the event is the best ticket in the house and it costs $10 million. And I was like, well, wait a minute, you know, cause people are saying, you know, oh, he's just trying to sell to the events or whoever else, right?
Yeah.
Whoever your mentor is, whatever they're selling, whether it's a course or whether it's their book or maybe tickets to their event, like everybody's going to have their own business and you're going to buying into maybe their high ticket mastermind or something else like that. But one of the things that stuck with me, at least with that event, was he actually had invested $10 million not to sell tickets to the event, but to develop connections with some of the most powerful people in the world. Like, think about the access that he has to some of those. I mean, like Sarah Blakely, you know, multi-billionaires. I had never thought about it from that point of view of like, oh, he's just trying to sell tickets to the event. No. He's trying to buy access to his next level. So I think looking back to how we can how I implement that is like sometimes if you don't have any connections, like I didn't have any connections, you got to go buy access, which means go buy a plane ticket and go to some of these events and or whether that's a course online or free library. Library's got an endless amount of content too mm-hmm. with books, just on sales books or marketing books. But that was one person and kind of sticking point that was like, wow, you can always put something together to like figure out how to get to the next level.
Jeez. And it's so crazy. I feel like Grant Cardone, like I've been listening to him for the last 3 years and I'm just like, I just feel like he's just growing bigger and bigger and bigger and more known and more like, that's like ridiculous at this point. I'm like, geez, like this man is killing it, killing it in every way. It's almost insane. And then I love everything that you say. And there's one thing that's kind of been on my mind because mm-hmm. I feel like, there's so much different like opinions about this one thing, and they talk about hustle, 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 mm-hmm. hustle. Keep your head down. Don't have fun. Not saying don't have fun,
mm-hmm.
but more so like when you want that lifestyle, you'll have it once you achieve all the things that you're on the way to achieve. So for me, I'll be real. For a while, I believe like, oh, I just need to keep my head down. Don't get on social media. Just focus on what you want to do, what you want to grow, who you want to mm-hmm. be. And then once you have all this success and you make the money that you want to make, you can invest into the other passions that you have. You can help your family. You can retire your parents. All that stuff that, you know, everyone believes that they want to mm-hmm. do. But then I said, you know what? Like, I hadn't even turned 21 yet. I was mm-hmm. like, I'm not even 21 yet. I'm about to be 21.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in my 20s. I'm not saying I want to go out and party every weekend, but I am saying that I want to mm-hmm. at least experience my life. Because let's be real. Tomorrow is not promised. Although we believe we're going to have a lot of years on on this planet, it's not promised.
Mm-hmm.
So why can't I go out and still do the things that I'm passionate about and love? But then there's other people in my ear saying, no, you need to focus. You need to hustle. Put your head down. 10 years. Narrow. Mm-hmm. Focus. Boom. Skip your 20s. Like, what do you think about that? What do you think? What do you want? Because you're, let's be real, like you're very focused.
Mm-hmm.
You're always in your business.
Mm-hmm.
You're available to your clients. You're more available than the other, most founders, right?
Yeah.
So what would you say to someone like that? What's your take on that? And how do you feel? Do you go out and do you enjoy life or what?
I don't think there's a right answer to that. I mean, for me personally, and here's why I say that, because like, it comes down to what you want. Why would you want to go like push yourself? I met people at the sales, at different jobs that I had in the past that were perfectly content just sitting there, like working there. And that's fine. Like if they're happy, fine. I mean, I don't think it's a good choice for you personally, but who am I to tell them how to live their life, right? That's not on me. That's, they can do whatever they want. I mean, that's kind of the point. you know, as long as you're not wronging others, like, I think that that's a big thing to look at. Like, well, why would you push yourself? Like, if you want to have fun and go out and party and go to whatever else, then go do it. Like, just know that it doesn't map to certain things if you want others. Like, there's going to be a conflict of interest if you do say, well, I want this, this, and this, and then you go out and do that. Well, okay, well, those two don't, like, it doesn't map to that, so you're not going to get it. So I guess I would just start there. I mean, it's just, what do you want?
Yeah.
I mean,
all about figuring out what you want, having the clarity.
Yeah.
Okay. Got it. Awesome. Cool. So real quick, before we finish this, where can these people find you?
Definitely Instagram is probably where I'm most active. Mm-hmm. So, Chad Feingold on Instagram.
Chad.Feingold.
Yep. Chad.Feingold on Instagram. That's the biggest place you can find me.
Okay.
Easiest, at least, most accessible.
Okay, perfect. So. Awesome. All right. Thank you so much for hopping on the podcast, guys. Make sure if you want to reach out to this man, wealth of knowledge. Literally insane. So I'm super thankful that you were on the podcast. Like, wow, you just like blew my mind. I have so much to talk to you about. But anyway, thank you again for being on the podcast. We will see you guys on the next episode.